Ronnie remembered his first sight of Captain Serrano, the rigidity with which she had held herself, like someone in great pain who will not admit it. He remembered the reaming out she'd given him that time on the bridge, and what he'd heard her say to his aunt. Scathing both times, and he'd sworn to get his vengeance someday. She had held him captive, forced his attention, tamed him, as she'd put it. He had had to watch her take to riding and hunting as if she were born to it, while he loathed every hour on horseback. He had had to hear his aunt's praise of her captain's ability and her scorn of him. That, too, he had sworn to avenge. Now was his chance, and it required nothing of him but silence. He met George's eyes. He had told George, he remembered, what Serrano had said about her past. He had been angry, and he had eavesdropped without shame, and shared the gossip without shame. Now he felt the shame. He could feel his ears burning.
It wasn't that.
Petrus looked at him, brows raised.
She didn't know.
How do you know?
Ronnie dared not look at Rafa. She would be ashamed of him.
I heard her talking to my aunt. They told her, I suppose that admiral you mentioned, that if she stood trial, the crew would be tried with her. But if she resigned, no action would be taken against her subordinates.
Likely. Of course she'd make up a good story for later. She wouldn't want to admit she sold us.
I'm not sure. It could be. I think, Petrus. Which is more like our Serrano?
She's not my Serrano.
Oblo, Ronnie realized, had never wanted to believe Serrano guilty of treachery. He turned to Ronnie.
Of course, kid. She's your aunt's captain. You'd like her and defend her, I suppose.
Like her? That puffed-up, arrogant, autocratic, bossy... No one could like her. Do you know what she did to Ronnie? To Ronnie, on his own aunt's ship? Slapped him in the face. Ordered him off the bridge, as if he were any stupid civilian. And me... She told me I was nothing but a popinjay, a pretty face with not the sense to find my left foot.
George, never mind.
George looked as regal as he could, which was almost funnier.
No, Ronnie, I've had enough of this. Captain Serrano may have been your aunt's choice, but she was not mine. All those ridiculous emergency drills. I've never seen such a thing on a proper yacht. All that fussing about centers of mass and alternative navigation computer checks and whatnot. I'm not a bit surprised that woman got herself in trouble somewhere. She's obsessed with rules and regulations. That sort always go bonkers sometime. She drove you, the least mischievous of our set, to eavesdrop on her conversations with your aunt.
Enough! Let's hear, and briefly, from you, Ronnie. What precisely did you hear, and under what circumstances?
Well, she had chewed me out and waked us up 3 late shifts running for drills. I wanted to get back at her, so I patched into the audio in my aunt's study. She and my aunt talked a lot, mostly about books or music or art, sometimes about the ship or riding. But my aunt wanted to know about her time in the service, why she resigned. I could tell the captain didn't want to answer, but my aunt can be persuasive. So that's what she said, what I told you before. She was offered a chance to resign her commission rather than face a court-martial, and was promised that if she resigned, no action would be taken against any of her crew. Otherwise, she was told her crew would also be charged, and it was more than likely they'd all be condemned. She cried, Petrus. I don't think she cries often.
That's our Serrano, Petrus. She didn't know. She did it for us. They probably wouldn't let her come back and explain.
Yes. She said that. She had to resign right then in that office and not return to the ship. She said that was the worst of it, that someone might think she'd abandon her crew. But at least they'd be safe.
Oh, that miserable excuse for an admiral. He might have done that. He might think it was funny.
Nah, I don't believe that. It's the captain, like you told me at first. Why'd she resign if she wasn't up to something, huh? Stands to reason she has friends to cover for her.
You weren't in her crew. You got no right to judge.
Oblo looked at Ronnie.
You are telling the truth.
I overheard what I told you. And I told George. I hated her. I hoped to find some way to get back at her. But
you couldn't quite let us believe the lie, eh?
Petrus smiled.
Well, son, for a royal ass-peep, you've got surprising ethics. And what would you want to bet that Admiral Lupescu planned to let her know later what he'd done? When it was too late. When it would drive her to something he could use.
Does he know she's here? Could he have known who hired her? Where she was going?
Lupescu? He could know which fork she ate with if he wanted to.
Harris came out of the shower, toweling her hair, to find Cecilia sitting upright in the desk chair, already dressed for the day's hunt.
I didn't know I was late.
Harris's own clothes lay spread on the bed. She had come from the shower bare, as usual, and shrugged when she realized it was too late for modesty. She hoped anger would not make her blush. Cecilia had no right to invade her room.
You're not. I can't find Ronnie, or George, or their girlfriends. That's a scar.
Harris looked down at the old, pale line of it, then realized why Cecilia was so shocked.
Oh, it's old. No regen tanks aboard light cruisers. If you get cut or burned, you scar.
Harris pulled on her socks, then her riding pants, and grinned at Cecilia.
We consider them decorative.
Barbaric.
True, but necessary. Would you have quit competitive riding if you'd had to live with the scars of your falls?
Well, of course not. Lots of people did in the old days, but it's not necessary now, and...
Neither is fox hunting. Very few things are really necessary when you come down to it. You, me, the horses, all the rituals. If you just wanted to exterminate these pseudo-foxes, you'd spread a gene-tailored virus and that'd be it. If you just wanted to ride horses across fences, you could design a much safer way to do it, and not involve canids.
Hounds.
Whatever.
Harris leaned over and pulled on her boots. They had broken in enough to make this easier, and she no longer felt her legs were being reshaped as the boots came up. She peered into the mirror and tied the cravat correctly, slicked down her hair, and reached for her jacket.
Ready? I'm starved.
You didn't hear me. I can't find Ronnie and the others.
I heard you, but I don't understand your concern. Perhaps they started out early. No, I admit that's not likely. Perhaps they're already at breakfast, or not yet up from an orgy in someone else's room.
No, I checked.
Harris opened her mouth to say that in a large, complicated building with dozens of bedrooms, close to other buildings with dozens of bedrooms, four young people who wanted to sleep in could surely find a place beyond an aunt's sight. Then she saw the tension along Cecilia's jaw.
You're worried, aren't you?
Yes. They didn't hunt yesterday. They were supposed to be out with a third pack, and Susanna mentioned she hadn't seen them. The day before, you remember, Ronnie missed a lesson.
But...
I found Buttons, and I asked him. He turned red and said Ronnie, George, and the girls had gone picnicking day before yesterday. He didn't know about yesterday, or said he didn't. And there's more.
When Cecilia didn't go on, Harris sat on the bench at the foot of her bed. She knew that kind of tension. It would do no good to pressure her.
There's a flitter missing. I had to bribe Bunny's staff to find that out. Apparently Bubbles is something of a tease. It's not the first time she's taken out her father's personal flitter, and the staff doesn't like her to get into trouble. They cover for her with the spare. So Bunny doesn't know a thing.
And they've been gone a day, 2 days, maybe three?
Yes. According to the log, and they do keep one, just to be sure Bubbles doesn't get hurt, they left well before dawn, day before yesterday. Filed a flight plan for some island lodge called White Wings. I've never been there, but I've got the map.
Cecilia handed Harris the data cube. Harris fitted it into the room's display.
The problem is they aren't at White Wings either. It's a casual lodge. No resident staff, though it's fully equipped. There's a satellite beacon on the flitter, of course, and there's been a steady signal here.
Cecilia pointed to an island much nearer than White Wings.
No distress call, and it's at another lodge. Michaels, who's the flitter chief, thinks Bubbles just changed her mind and decided to hide out on another island in case I followed the trail this far.
She'd know about the beacon, though.
She'd think I wouldn't.
Harris stared at the display.
Ah. What's on this other island?
Bandon? It's another lodge, more a family place, although it's got a large landing field. Michael says the family goes there every spring at least once. When the children were younger, they used to camp on one of the smaller islands, while the adults stayed on Bandon. He says it's lovely. Forested islands, clear water, reefs. Imported cetaceans, some of the small ones that Michael said play with humans. Bubbles has always liked it better than any place on the planet, he says. White Wings is colder, usually stormier.
Well, that makes sense.